This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We're going to get stuck into a fair few topics I want to talk about today. Obviously, Ipswich, we haven't had a chance to reflect on that. Southampton, we've got the transfer window still open. I want to reflect on maybe current bit of business we've done already. Ainsworth, Jake Clark-Salt is back in town. Maybe worth having a chat about what we think's going on there. Where's Richards? I don't know. I want to find out what you boys think on him. I saw Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's comments recently. And I also want to have a good chat about Chair. We'll save that one. Just quickly, before we crack on, we've got a full suite of podcasters today. This is lovely to see. We've got all of you here. Dunk, hello.
Hello, mate. You all right?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Tired, but good.
How's the sausage roll at Southampton?
The sausage roll at Southampton was the best part of Southampton.
I know.
It was unbelievable. That half-time sausage roll was delicious.
Oh, God.
Yeah, top marks.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, you okay, mate?
Yeah. Clearly, I wish I had an amazing sausage roll Saturday as well. But no, happy to be here with the full squad, as you mentioned. We're all fit. We're all healthy and ready to go.
I don't know if Brad's healthy, but he's here.
Available for selection.
While he's here, he's like a guest now, isn't he? He's like a guest appearance. Brad, how are you?
Yeah, welcome back. All good. All good to be back on again. See your faces.
Good. You're building the kitchen. How's it going?
Yeah, all done, mate. Renovated it now, so yeah, can chill out. Start putting my money away because I'm not going to Rangers at the minute.
And we've got Jack. Jack.
Hey, doing guys?
Yeah,
good to be back on. I hope you're all well. But plenty to discuss, I reckon.
Right then, so let's get stuck in. Let's talk about Ipswich, sort of Southampton, roll it in. A reflection that I've got is fairly similar in the way the game went. Good performance. And then the legs kind of went. Definitely Ipswich after sort of 60, 65 minutes. But better, I think that's a general verdict from everyone, and including me, that we look a lot more solid. We look like we're going to compete, or we can compete, but there's still question marks over what we've got after 65 minutes in relation to fitness and off the bench. Doug, do you want to kick us off, mate? What was your reflection?
Obviously, with the Ipswich game, we had the unluckiest chance of the season and worst miss of the season in the same game.
That's got no attention, by the way, I don't think. Do you remember when Jordan Hugo missed that goal? It was everywhere for about 2 weeks.
Even Dykes last year, like last season, were against Hull at home, and he missed from a couple of yards out. First of all, Armstrong was so unlucky when he hit both posts. I literally thought, it's in. No, oh, it's one of those like literally up and down, like just getting excited and then just bounces out. And then with Ozzy, oh, I just don't even know how he's hit it wide from what, a yard and a half out. Like it's got to be up there with one of the worst misses I've ever seen.
You think because it's Ozzy, it's not got the attention because it's not the main striker.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's been let off. Why was he even there anyway?
But from my seat, it honestly didn't look. It was bad, but like it didn't look awful. Like being in the ground might be like just where I sit in the stand, bowl stand. But I mean, I was fully expecting the ball to end up in the net, and I couldn't work out how it didn't. But then watching it back on the train, yeah, that was really painful. But it's interesting you bring up that Dykes one against Hull because I watched that yesterday, and they like one of the kind of on this day QPR accounts put it out. I could not. I knew it hadn't gone in, but I hadn't watched it in so long. I still could not believe that chance didn't go in. But we were decent against Ipswich. I was I was happy that we were back playing at home. It was still good to be back in the ground. The first home game out of the first five, but it was a good atmosphere. Pretty full. People were happy. It was good atmosphere kind of in the lower loft and kind of the rail seating, and got some decent flags and stuff and waving that around. I think it's the classic thing that if it's not your club, you might go, that doesn't look great. But I think those guys have done a really good job with that aspect. But yeah, we were bright. I said on the pod before that I thought Ipswich would be really good and we'd get turned over easily. They weren't as good as I thought they were. Thought we matched them pretty well first half, and it's just a typical thing that if you don't take your chances, I mean, Armstrong couldn't have done much more with that shot in terms of hitting both posts. But if we don't score when we're on top, last year, at the start of the season, we could get away with it because you'd be confident we were going to score. Now, if we don't do it when we're looking good, we're in trouble and you're like, I'm going to concede at some point.
Well, just on that, like our record under Ainsworth, you know, from losing positions is not great at all. I think in the league games he's been in charge of since he's come back, gone behind in 12 different games, and we've only recovered 1 point out of those 12. 11 ended up in defeats. The draw at West Brom, you know, so I know we'll touch on Southampton, but, you know, we were unlucky not to get points from losing positions in that game. But yeah, I agree with everything you said about the Ipswich game. I think the fitness, you know, 60 plus minutes, it all turned, didn't it, on that. And, you know, when Armstrong went off, he caused them problems all day. His overall performances lately have been really, really impressive. He looks a championship player, still raw, but his hold up play, his touch, it's looking a lot better, more assured. Decision making will get better. I think when he ran down the wing, Bright Say Samuel style, and you know, got right into the box, absolutely torched their defenders. You watch the replay, and Chair was there, you know, waiting for a cutback. And but you know, if you'd run, you know, the length of the pitch, you know, you might be entitled to a shot, maybe. But you know, you'll learn from that. I think there's definitely green shoots. As you say, we look a bit more solid at the back. We're starting to look more like a team, cohesive team. And this is all about Dykes up front as well. Green shoots from the Ipswich game for sure. But that home form, one win in 17 home games in all competitions, which is, you know, to my knowledge, I think our worst ever competitive run at home in a 17 game cycle. We've never won as few games as that. You know, scored 7 goals in that run, you know, and never more than once in a game. So, unlucky not to score against Ipswich, but, you know, it's definitely got to be addressed soon because you can't continue that home form.
I mean, I agree with what you're all saying, to be honest. We look good in the back. You know, that's probably our strongest part of our game at the moment, is at the back. You know, I think Southampton, one of their goals, Begovic could have probably saved, but, you know, Begovic has been decent since he's come in. We're just lacking in midfield and striker, obviously, as we know. But I don't know what you guys think, but Gareth Ainsworth's interviews after the games, I know he's seeing positivity in the players, and I know that it's looking better, but why is he so happy? You know, I get it. We are missing Jake Clarkshaw, we're missing Dunn, but there's still work to be done, and we've got no depth, we've got no bench, and you know, and he's just saying that he's happy with what we've got. I don't know what you think on that, but
I was going to touch on it a little bit later, but I think I don't believe for one second that Gareth Ainsworth doesn't think or want more players or need or believes that we don't need them, right? It's obvious that we need another right back. It's obvious we need a couple of players, but with the financial strengths where they are, we just can't get these players in, can we? We can't seem to get them over the line. I think he thought that we were going to be selling players that we haven't. And I think that when he means that, I think what he means is where the club is he's looking back at where the club was, you know, when he took over, to when it was at the end of the season, even to when it was halfway through pre-season, to what it is now in relation to the people we have got in the building. He's probably is happy and the fact that we haven't sold Willock or Chair and aren't able to compete for some players. I think he's looking at it thinking, actually, I'm happy now. I'm happy because this is what I've got now. It could be better. It may be better. It may get better. It may not. But and he's not going to turn around and say he's not happy, is he? Right?
Well, there's something going on there with him and Willock, though, isn't there? Let's be honest. I know he's saying he's happy. He probably is because he's brought some good players in. Colback looked good against Southampton, didn't he? Looked strong. Like I said, Begovic as well. You know, we've brought some good players in there. But with this whole Willock affair, I don't get it, to be honest. Is he going? Is he staying? Do you know what I mean? Because he's one of our key players. If he's going and his attitude's not there, then we need to get rid of him and bring someone in.
Just quickly, before you answer that, mate, right, I just want to quickly roll that into another question, is that the change of style that's happened has come from somewhere. I'd love to know what happened. I really would. Who had that conversation? Who he had that conversation with? You know, it wasn't himself. He's had this with multiple people or persons that have told him that he needs to change his style. Is that linked to the fact that it's looking very likely it was then that Willock and Chair are going to be staying and you can't play them in this, you know, in the formation that you wanted to? And that along with the poor performances has meant that he's changed?
Obviously, well, someone's had a word with him after the Watford game, because he came out after that and said, Chrissy Willock's going to play. We're going to tweak a few things and we're going to be getting back to playing a bit more of the style of football the lads are used to and come away from my style of football. Like, what manager says that? So, I mean, not like you don't see like Jose Mourinho coming out and saying, hang on, I'm changing my complete setup, my complete how I play football to accommodate one or two players, especially one or two players that have down tools, don't turn up at games. Chrissy Willock plays 45 minutes against Ipswich and comes off because he's knackered, and then we don't see him at all against Southampton. What's that about? Like, I just find the whole situation absolutely bizarre. And the Willock being a key player for us is gone. He's not at all. I want rid of him. Get him out of the club. Literally free up the wages, get a tiny bit of money in for him, see if we can reinvest it in a position we need, say right back or as a striker on loan.
I think the Ainsworth comments are going to be just what he does all the time. Right, I'm going to take all the burden on here. We've had, like, that was horrendous, that Watford performance. So what can he do? He's not going to blame the players, is he? So the easiest thing for him to do is go, right, that's on me. I'm going to take all of the blame here. It's not on them. I set up them up in the wrong way. You might not even believe it, but the style style changed because Armstrong became a starter. Therefore, we had an opportunity for pace on the break, and he has the ability to hold the ball up as well. So the Willock thing, honestly, no idea what's going to happen by sort of Saturday morning. Is he going to be in the squad? Is he going to be on the Middlesbrough bench? Is he going to be watching from the stands because he signed for them the day before? And the thing is, against Ipswich, he still looked good. Like, I was really happy with him. He had the run-in of Morsi and Luongo in that kind of number 10 position. He was battling for the ball. He was taking it past them. He got Luongo booked in the first half. If he'd stayed on for the second half, Morsi would have got booked for fouling Willock. He would have driven us on, and I'm so confident we would have scored. And then to see when Colback was coming on at half time, you're like, right, who's he coming on for? And very quickly, as the players coming out, you're like, he's coming on for Willock. And you're like, really? Like, is that all you could manage? Or because that wasn't a shop window 45 minutes. No one goes, actually, you're playing really well, so I'm now going to take him off. The whole thing, very, very odd. But yeah,
it was a bit like a pre-season 45 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The way they've managed the players this summer. And it does feel like we've wasted pre-season changing tactics after one game. But I do feel that, I mean, I'm pleased he's changed up, because any manager that joins QPR sees you've got Chair, Willock, etc., and tries to play like rudimentary sort of, you know, long ball, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm glad he's adapted. I'm glad he's changed. How that looks on him as a manager, how that, you know, that's up for debate, but it has seen improved performances. So, you know, credit for that discussion that happened after Watford, or, you know, after the game, because it was much needed. And I feel
Jack, who is it with? Who is it with, mate? Who do you think he had? I really want to know.
Players, well, in my head, I'm seeing it as like a Jim McGill and Bazaki, Adjuman. All these dramas happen at Vicarage Road, apparently. Yeah. No, I do think it was to be in a collective or a couple of players. I mean, I'm only assuming, you know, but I'm assuming it's a few players like that, you know, we're talking about, that maybe just said, you know, this is, we can't play like this. But it takes, you know, guts to change, and I hope that it pays off, you know, long term. If you'd have told me like 14, 16 months ago that Chair and Willock would both still be at the club, you know, this is Mick Bill joining, saying, I don't want them to be sold. And you think, okay. And the fact they weren't sold this summer, it seems remarkable, really. But Willock, you know, the way his season panned out last year was, you know, it was a shock to everyone. But this whole coming on for 45 minutes, disappearing for two games, it's a mystery. And the misdirection we're getting from Ainsworth in his interviews, it's baffling as a fan. So like, I'm almost tuning out sometimes of these pre and post match interviews, because I don't know about you guys, I find, you know, some of it hard to believe. I don't know what he's telling the truth about. Jimmy Dunn's been close to playing for ages. We know he dislocated his shoulder, had needed a surgery. You know, no one comes back that quick. Lyndon Dykes, what's he done? Probably a lot more likely to see him play for Scotland than QPR in the next couple of weeks. It's just a bit, it's hard to follow, and it's frustrating, and it adds fuel to the fire on the conspiracies of why certain players are, you know, playing or not, like last season.
But I get the point, the notion that he doesn't want to give away team news, right? That's what people will be saying, and I kind of get it. But what I don't get is that, like you say, the misdirection is that, oh, he's nearly back, when he's not going to be back for months. That doesn't help anybody, does it? Well, I don't get that. Like, do you know what I mean? That's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, he's not looking for, so much of sport is like making marginal gains, right? How can you gain the tiniest little advantage at every point? But saying, oh, Willock might be back, isn't going to lead to the opposition going, right, we're going to watch 10 minutes of video and film on Willock, and this is how you defend him. That isn't enough. Like, he's been a Championship player for a while. He's playing against other Championship defenders who have probably seen him before. So, yeah, that element is, I could understand if it's more about Dykes and like your real true focal point. So a team's like, okay, are QPR going to line up with Dykes up front or Armstrong as their number nine? Because that might dictate how you defend us slightly differently, or the prep you've got to do. But not massively in terms of Willock, which I know sounds really weird to say, because on his day, he is so good and we've seen it. But yeah, the concern is he going to get back to that? Will we ever see that as QPR fans?
Just quickly, Brad, just quickly before you come in, mate, on Willock, is he, do you think he's got the attitude, Willock, a little bit? And I don't know if this is true or not. The kind of, you're going to need me before I need you, kind of, you know, if I don't leave, for me, Gareth Ainsworth needs to get the best out of Chris Willock to do that, to have for us to stay up. Not that, I mean, we could do it without him, but I think if he's fit and firing, or even half firing, I think we've got a much better chance, right? If he's fit and engaged stuff. I wonder whether there's this kind of, well, you know, Ainsworth's got that in the back of his mind. I might need him. So I've got to keep him onside a little bit. I've got to, you know, cover him in, with fans. I've got to play him.
What do you think, Brad? Because I get what you're saying. He thinks he's, you know, we need him. We do need him. Hence the reason, look, you know what I mean? Look, our bench, we're bringing on Duke McKenna, Dixon Bonner, you know, no disrespect to them, but we got Smythe on playing quite well at the minute. But Chair, to me, doesn't seem too interested. I know he had a few chances at Southampton, but he should have put them in the back of the net. But with the whole Willock situation, if his attitude's not there, then we need to get rid of him. You know, we can't just have one bad apple in the squad. We've been there and done that before at QPR. You know, and I know he's a good player and I know he can change games. And, you know, we all want that as fans. We want the 3 points. But like Bill said, he's got to be man-managed. He did say that. He said Willock has to be man-managed. You have to pick him up when he's down. Maybe Ainsworth is not that sort of manager, right? So Willock's probably thinking, I could do better than this. And in his head, he's probably thinking, I don't want to get a knock. Borough are interested. But then all the fans, every week, you're sitting in the pub at the, you know, at the ground and you're thinking, where the hell's Willock? Not even on the bench, not even in the squad. But it was all quiet, do you know what I mean? So Ainsworth on that front, like Jack said, he just keeps everything to himself and it's just weird. It's weird.
Well, I mean, just on the whole Willock mystery, just finally on him, I think if the big master plan is to rest him for Borough, for the Borough game, assuming he stays, it makes sense. Willock scored in his last three appearances against Middlesbrough and he's got two assists as well. So 5 goals and assists in his last 3 games against Borough. I mean, well, that wouldn't go amiss. So
maybe
it points to what Ben says, you know, if he a half fit, fire, well, not half fit, but half firing Willock still can make a bit of a difference. But you're right as well, Brad. If his attitude's not there, he's got to go, surely. You can't have it.
If no one's in for him, then he can't go. That's the point, right? That's what's happening.
But you can't have someone playing 45 minutes and then go missing for the next game.
But then it comes back.
I don't know how good he is.
Yeah, but it comes back to when we last speak on the pod throughout the season, right? With, I know Dickie's gone, but we're going back to that situation where Dickie was so good when we all thought Dickie's going to go for 10 million here, you know, 8 million at some stage. We all thought that. Every QPR fan thought that. We were talking in the pub. Dickie's unbelievable. We said it about Willock. You know, he's going to go for 12 million, 11 million. No one wants him, and there's a reason why no one wants him. And but we're going to let him go for cheap, aren't we? If we do let him go, and I get what Ben's saying. If we, you know, if we have to hold on to him to keep us up or get us mid-table, even with a bad attitude, maybe we should hold on to him if the value's not there. Do you know?
Yeah, he's literally turning into Tyler Roberts. He'll play one game and then go missing for free.
But we don't know behind closed doors if Borough interested in him, and Borough could say to Ainsworth, right, we'll sign, you know, Willock, rest him this game or play him against us. We want to watch him. And then, I don't know, you don't know, do you? I don't think that would happen.
I've got sympathy with Ainsworth on this one. I've got a bit of sympathy with a couple of things with Ainsworth, which we can get into in a bit. But one is Willock. I think that he's got kept the door half open because he knows he might need him to come through it. You know, he probably could. I don't know what's happened. We don't know what's happened. But I'm sure him not being available has frustrated him as much as anybody, right? So, but if he knows he might be here come Saturday, but you've bombed him out or you've not, you know, it doesn't, and then you're going to need to rely on him because we've got injured players, which will happen at QPR, it does. What happens then? Do you know what I mean? It's playing the game a little bit, or rightly or wrongly.
Yeah, he's got to keep him on side. And yeah. I think a key point of playing Willock, and you can, in my opinion, you can almost sacrifice the fact he's going to go next summer for free. Because Chair is so much better when he's playing with his best pal, Chris Willock. Think how much they link up and how well they do together. So if we get this season where Willock plays, let's say he plays 28 to 32 games, but that makes Chair better, we as a team are going to be better. And you go, fine, next summer you're going to go. But the other asset we've got in Chair, if he's staying, his price elevates because he's playing with his best pal. That helps us. I don't think if Willock left on deadline day, Chair would kind of like be sobbing in the corner and go into a mood for months, but it is going to have an effect when you can see how much they like playing together. Like, so that is going to have an effect on the pitch. And if he's like, okay, well, fucking Adoma's now going to be right winger most games. Funny enough, I don't think Ilias is going to like it as much.
Just quickly to finish off on Southampton and Adoma coming in on it, I didn't say it ruined the game, but our biggest threat was Smith on the right, I thought, especially in, well, most of the game. So when he went off, I felt, and it's the same, but I can see what Ainsworth's now saying around him being really pivotal in this formation, yeah, which is him playing real high up and getting at left backs. So when he went off for Adoma, whose legs are shot again, we say every week, I kind of thought that didn't look great.
But there's no other option though, is there? Let's be honest. No. It's fit to come on. But and then, do you know what? Just touching on Southampton, how annoying is it when the ref blows when Armstrong uses his strength? Oh my days. Did that not do your head in? There was two or three times he literally did nothing. The ref blew.
They don't realise how strong he is, do they? Like a little.
There's a few things about Armstrong, like he's not getting any protection from the refs at the moment, and he's got to learn how to deal with that. And yeah, this is a little trend I've noticed in him. His last 13 games, he's been booked 6 times. So he feel like he's on a tightrope sometimes with how he bustles around. But I wouldn't change him. You know, he is what he is. He's fantastic. But, you know, in terms of his discipline as well, he's, you know, he leads the way in the Championship for the most offsides. You know, his goal got disallowed. Goal disallowed against Southampton as well for being offside. So you do see areas where he can improve upon, I think, with Armstrong. But yeah, I agree with your point. I don't see him getting a lot of protection from referees. You see Ainsworth's point about the offside. He's saying he's so fast, it seems offside, but he's not. But,
here's a question for you all, though. Is Sinclair Armstrong a starting striker week in, week out in the Championship? Would you say yes, going on what we've seen, or would you say no, he still needs to improve? So
he starts every week.
Yeah, I mean, but
with Dykes.
Oh, really?
I think so.
He's going to improve by starting. So if he's not playing, he's not going to improve. He needs to have those run of games to get his confidence in this league.
There might be the odd big game that maybe you bring him on. I'm not sure. There might be a game away.
But imagine bringing him on 70 minutes, yeah, 68 minutes.
On a big pitch.
Defenders are knackered, do you know what I mean?
Well, that Burnley game is the example, right? A game where he didn't start. Exactly. We've kept ourselves in it, and then he's been an amazing outlet. But, I mean, I don't think we're in a position where he can't start.
No.
The only thing which I'm sure we'll talk about is his fitness, and that's what makes us be like, can you actually play him most games if he can only get 60 minutes?
I was talking with Ben at the Southampton game. We were there watching it. And I said to him, every single time we're getting the ball, as much as we're not playing long ball, we are hitting it longer for Armstrong to kind of get in the channels. So he's making these 30-meter runs, sprints every time, getting bullied by a centre half, then he's knackered. Yeah. So that's the problem. He's got no one else up with him half the time, but he's constantly making these runs. He can't. He's done that for an hour, and he's literally blown out his arse. And that's the problem.
It's so clear that is literally our game plan. It is the other 10 men behind the ball, and basically as soon as you've got it, right hoof.
Yeah.
You can't do that all game. We have to have something else about us.
I guess he's a great option though for playing off Dykes, isn't he, with his pace? And that's what you need. I mean, you need someone that's going to play off Dykes for that pace, because come be the end of the window, I'm sure, I might be wrong, that we're going to end up with Chris Martin. But do you know what I mean? But imagine if we did, we put Chris Martin and Dykes up top, and then it just will all go wrong again, because that's not the sort of player that Dykes needs. So Armstrong is that player. But
that's shown against Cardiff. Yeah, that's shown against Cardiff.
Yeah,
well, Dykes is better in the 10, falling back in the 10, where he can win the headers, and there's someone behind. He runs, he's got energy, he can fill in. When he's back, I think we see an even better Sinclair.
I think it was noticeable against Southampton, obviously, that Armstrong was up against, in my opinion, one of the best centre-backs in the league in Bednarak. And if we'd had Dykes there, Dykes is another seasoned international. He could have occupied Bednarak and given Armstrong a bit more space. So them two together, I think, is key for any success for us this season.
He's showing a lot though. I mean, you just have, if you watch him carefully, his touch is improved massively, and his awareness of other people, you know, Sinclair back to goal. For me, that's a massive string to his bow, because not all strikers have pace, power, hold the ball up, get in behind, you know, link the play. They have elements of it, you know. They have a couple of elements, maybe not all of them, but Armstrong potentially could have it all.
But so, who's he learning that off, though? You know what I mean, in the training ground? Because I'm not being honourable, but Dykes is not giving him that sort of thing. Who's he getting that from?
Well, I think Dykes would be the closest to the back-to-goal play. I mean, if you had a Chris Martin in, now there's a player who can play back-to-goal properly. Yeah. I know he's not great. He's not like a big, you know, up in the air like Dykes, but, you know, Martin's link-up play with back-to-goal, if it's played into his chest and feet, is actually really superb. It's just he doesn't have the physicality to keep up with the play, or, you know, like Dykes is a bit more mobile. So, yeah, hesitant about the Chris Martin one. He did a good job last season. I've touched upon it before, but surely, you know, there are other options out there at this point. But, I mean, Andy Carroll's on a free. I wouldn't touch him.
He's going to France.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Anyone who we're going to bring in is going to be slow, aren't they? Let's be honest. We've not got no money.
Owen and Sinclair, yeah.
Just quickly then, on the transfer front, transfer windows closing, not today like we thought, but tomorrow. It's a bit of a silly time. I agree with Gareth and a few other people. It's 11 o'clock on a Friday before. I mean, it's ridiculous. What if you sell someone and you're in the team bus? Anyway, it's not looking likely that anyone's coming or going, though I wouldn't be surprised if something happened tomorrow. And it sounds like, you know, we are actively looking to try and bring players in. But I just think we're trying to get them as cheap as possible. You know, we know the FFP headroom is non-existent. And we haven't, I think, Chair, I'm pretty confident the club thought that he would be gone this summer, like we all did. But the interest and the offers haven't been there.
The performance hasn't been there from Chair, that's why.
Well, yeah, we'll get on to Chair specifically in a bit, actually. But just quickly on the transfer window, we need players in, we know we do. I agree with, I think it was Ainsworth who said it, that I don't see the point of bringing in a young loan in. I know we were linked to that Scarlet at Spurs.
Ipswich,
yeah. I don't see the point in it. We've got Colley there. What influence? I don't know. I just think that we could stay up. We might not. But either way, we'll have a better Ryan Colley next season if he's able to play more games. And, you know, getting one of these young players on loan for another club. We need someone who's going to add quality. And if they're not available, then they're not available, right? If we can't afford them, we're getting outbidded, aren't we?
This is what annoys me with Ainsworth being a yes man and coming in to appease the fans. Like when Warburton was in charge, he was unhappy with the squad and the depth, and he refused to put 7 subs on. He only put 5 subs on away to Stoke. He said to the board, "This squad is not good enough. I need help." Ainsworth saying, "I'm happy. I'm happy with the squad I've got. I'm happy. No issues. We're desperate for a right back. We're desperate for a striker." But when you're saying, "I'm happy with it," the board are going, "Oh, that's all right. He's happy. He'll work with what we've got."
No, the board know that.
They know, mate. The thing, Warburton was given the brief to get us up, get in the top 6, right? That's what his brief was. And he couldn't do that, being told that he had to play the youth. I think that's what he probably meant. Gareth Ainsworth's job is to keep us up, right? That's the brief. So,
but we need reinforcements to keep us up.
No, well, yeah, but...
But, like, we need... like. We can't go all season with Ozzy at right back.
But you run the risk of bringing people in.
Then we've got Smith as a right wing back, and as brilliant as he is going forward, he got turned inside out by a doozy for Southampton at the weekend. He literally got put in his arse like 2 or 3 times. He was at fault for the first goal, as much as Begovic was. Like, he's not a right wing back. It's like when we had a Doma at right wing back. We are desperately short there. We are desperately short up top. Are you telling me that Dykes and Armstrong are going to get the goals we need to stay in this division? Absolutely not.
No, Chris Martin is.
Chris.
But
and Chris Willock and Richards.
But I can.
Richards.
Hello.
But going off what Angel, I've obviously, you know, he says he's happy and he's obviously going to say that, isn't he? And he's smiley and he says the performances are getting better and better, which he's not wrong, right? They are getting better and better, but we're just not getting 3 points. So he can come out every week and be happy with the performance, but sooner or later the fans will turn. It's QPR, But looking at that team, right? I know last season we had.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ed, Tim, Roberts on loan, didn't we?
And yeah, Jamal Lowe.
Jamal Lowe. But looking at what he's brought in, right, I get that they're a bit older, legs. Cook, Begovic, Colback. Do you know what I mean? Fox. If we bring a right back in, surely that is better business than those loans last season. Am I wrong? Other than Tim.
Mate, you need goals to win games. Yeah, how many goals are them not going to give us over the course of a season? We can keep as many clean sheets as you want, but 1 point each week isn't going to guarantee us survival.
No, exactly that. But we all know we need a striker. We 100% all know that. But if we're not going to get a striker, then he's got, like you said, he's got to make do with what he's got. And let's be honest, if he makes do with what he's got and the way it's going, if we carry on doing this, he won't be at QPR for...
But the other issue we have is, as much as we've been playing well recently the last couple of games against Ipswich and Southampton, can you honestly say that either of those teams got out of second gear against us? So even when we're playing against a team that's not at it, we still didn't grind out any kind of positive result, no matter how good the performance was. Ipswich weren't there, were there for the taking, and we couldn't do it. Southampton were there for the taking, and we couldn't do it. We couldn't get anything over the line.
I think that's harsh, performing well.
Yeah, that's the concern about the good performances recently, these narrow one-goal defeats. It's like, how many of those can you stomach as a squad before the confidence saps away again? Because obviously the place is lifted. There's a better spirit. You know, they are more confident. They're playing better football. They're creating chances, which they weren't before. But you, as you say, Dunk, you keep losing the habit. You keep it played. It just becomes a thing. And we've been losing all calendar year. So you do want to see... As you see, QPR fans, will they turn or not? We'll have to see. But like, if the results don't change, probably will, yeah, despite improved performances. But yeah, we all know we need a striker. I think Dunn and Clark Salter coming back might mean that right wing back spot is just rotated between Kakai and Smith. Whether that's strong enough or not, I don't particularly think so. Smith's looked good, but again, fitness issues over the years, injury prone. Can he do a full season? He hasn't really played 90 minutes yet for us. So... you know, we lost four of our first five games of the season in all comps. Last time we did that was under McLaren in 2018-19. He got Hemed and Wells on loan. You know, I don't see that. Yeah. We just don't have that room to play with this year. So this is where you're banking on an Armstrong, you're gambling, should I say, on an Armstrong or a Colley to suddenly chip in with five goals, seven goals. I mean, as you say, it looks like a tall order on paper, but that means we have all these attacking midfielders. They're not scoring either. They got to start chipping in. I know Smith was unlucky against Southampton. He could have had two goals. He hit the bar, the second shot. But yeah, Chair's numbers have got to improve. Smith's got to chip in. There's got to be more from across the team because we know Dykes isn't going to get more than 10, 12 goals a season if he's there, if he's fit for most of it. So yeah, it's a conundrum, but at the moment, there's just no room to manoeuvre, is there? We needed that player sale, the big one, and we just haven't had it to unlock the finances.
And I think that's the point, isn't it, Jack? That we, I think the club thought that it was coming. It hasn't come. I think there was a lot of targets that we were going to get, but we haven't got because there's been that money's not been there. You know, I think the Wickham lad's a good example. There's been a few others, isn't there, that we've been in for and not got or been. So, yeah, I have sympathy for Ainsworth in that respect. He knows we need a striker. It's obvious to everyone. But if we haven't got the finances there to bring someone in to make a difference, and remember that these strikers are going for big money, aren't they? That can make the difference is what I'm talking about. You know, that Tom Cannon, Everton are asking for a £2 million loan fee. I mean, we're not going to pay that, right? You know, you've got Stoke out there, Birmingham, who are paying ridiculous money. Hull, Cardiff, all these players. I just think it's harsh.
I can just see easy going tomorrow to like another like Spurs or something for like end of the window, 10 o'clock or something that gets put through, and we're getting that windfall from the easy sale, and we can't spend it because we've got no time left. That's what I dread is going to happen tomorrow.
If that happened, the QPR social team should get that clip of Lee Hughes giving fingers up to that fan he was having that chat with, and spin that around into like a really positive video. That would be quality.
Do you reckon he is going to go easy?
No chance. Palace can't sell him. Can't sell your best player.
The issue is that he tries to run his contract down because he's only got a couple of years left after this.
So yeah, he's got 2 years left. Next summer is the win for us. He'd be their main man this year. He's already been great in their first few games. Yeah. Elevate his level even more this year in the England squad. Could easily make the Euro squad next year.
That money talks, though, doesn't it? I mean, if Saudi come in next week.
No, I think he's whenever you listen to him talk, the amount he does in his own community and how kind of attached he is to South London, that move isn't going to happen. The dream is still that he goes to City next summer for 100 mil. We bank huge windfall from that. And he gets even better as a player. But when we were talking about the strikers, I wanted to see what if Ikpeazu, so the ex-Wickham striker, because he was like linked with us on a free. He's going back to Wickham. Like, that came out today. Completely missed that earlier. I mean, it's easy to link us as a team with anybody who has played for Wickham for about 5 minutes. So this might have not had any legs, but it's probably the only striker name we've seen linked other than Chris Martin. And I guess we didn't make him an offer.
It will be Chris Martin.
Chris Martin doesn't need to come. I mean, we can still do business after the window on freeze. You know, I think,
yeah.
Again, that's our market, right? The freeze, when players are not playing and they agree terminations, they become available, don't they? We can still do that after Friday. So I'd, even if we don't sign anyone tomorrow, I'm not sure that'll be the end of it. Like I said, Chris Martin, I'm convinced he'll come in. But just quickly on Gareth Ainsworth, I'm not pro Gareth Ainsworth, by the way, but I am starting I can see what he's trying to do, right? Whether he does it or not, or whether he keeps us up, or whether he's got enough, I don't know. But I don't know. I have a little bit of sympathy for him, Dunk. I know you don't.
Well, the problem is, I was speaking to a Southampton fan after the game, and their comment was, for the first 45 minutes, all they saw Ainsworth do was try and G up the fans. Nothing tactical, not speaking to any of the players, but it was literally trying to motivate the fans. And I get that. And I understand that he wants us to be the 12th man, and he wants us to try and help get this squad and the team over the line in certain games. But like we said before, when we're playing well, we're not getting results, it's going to start taking its effect on the fans. There's only so much we can sing for 90 minutes and keep going every single week when we're not getting any points or we're not seeing anything positive. I just feel like stop trying to be that, trying to get the fans so much on side. Just do the job you're there for, which is get that team performing.
And I guess
don't worry
right.
about trying to please the fans and trying to say the right thing and trying to like basically do the like smoke screen, like cloak and mirror stuff, where he's telling one thing, something like that, what's going on in the squad's actually another thing. So he's saying stuff about Jimmy Dunn, he'll be back soon. He wasn't. Dykes, there's no news on his injury. Just like stop doing all that. Just get on with what you're doing. Tell us, I've got this player or this player, I'm doing this with the squad. And just go with that.
On the Dykes one quickly, why is it always that he's always just coming back from an injury as we get to international break? I'm not saying it's a personal thing by him, but I don't feel we as a club are good enough or strong enough to say to Scotland, no, he's not being called up because he's injured. But you can't have him this week. What we should be saying in all these international breaks is, sorry, you need to recover with us so you're fit for that next game. I just don't, understand it. It really annoys me.
They've got England, mate. There's no chance he's not going.
I mean, on the other side, I mean, he builds up his fitness with Scotland, comes back fitter because he's not. So that's right. In this situation, it works, I think.
And he'll probably score.
No, he needs to. Two for us wouldn't go amiss.
I mean, go back to you on Ainsworth. I'm not against Ainsworth, you know, fully. I mean, I do get what he's trying to do, and I get that. But Dunk is right in, you know, what he says. The fans will come. You stop trying to be this man, you know, arms in the air. And then at the end of the game, even though, you know, we've lost, but he turns around and points to all the players as if to say, you clap them. Yeah, we get that. We're going to clap them. We lost. They give us a good, you know, we're improving. But Dunk is right. How long can it go on for? He can't just come out every game. Yeah, we're improving. He started the interview, he's smiling. We're improvement. I see good performance. We were unlucky. Yeah, we didn't take our chances. Yeah, I get that. That's right. But eventually you will lose these fans. And I know how much, you know, how many fans are with him because of his time at QPR. If it was a different manager now at this point, it wasn't Ainsworth in the hot seat, what would be happening? Let's be honest, it would be different. And I
think
get
we
it,
saw that probably... with Critchley, didn't we?
Exactly.
Because we didn't have the attachment to him. The tether we're prepared to give him is a lot shorter. I think that's always going to play a part. We shouldn't kind of put every manager in the same position and be like, right, this is the amount of games every manager has. So,
He's got a really bad hand, I think. It's like a game of poker. He's got a really bad hand and he's trying to play his hand as best he can. It may or may not work. I mean, the question is, how long do the board, or if he doesn't start getting the wins? Because remember, I think as long as we're sort of in and around where we are now, right, I think he's okay, right? I think he'll survive, right?
We're outside the bottom three, so yeah, we're doing really
basically,
well.
Yeah, exactly, right? So as long as we're in and around where we are, I think he'll survive regardless of what happens, right? But it's if we start hitting that bottom two, and like Doug said, the performances, everything we're saying, teams work us out, we haven't got a plan B, we've got no squad, fitness is low. When all that starts continually being the issue, then you're in trouble, right? And you start getting in that bottom three. So it's just how long then do the board give it?
Well,
knowing that we're going to be in trouble, knowing that this was probably inevitably going to happen if we don't buy the players that we clearly need.
Well, you got a three-year contract, didn't he? Like, we've got no money. Like, what kind of severance package is he going to want if we go and get rid of him this year?
There's a year into it. I don't know.
Do you mean? We couldn't afford 300k for a centre back. Like, we're going to have to pay more than that to sack Ainsworth. That's.
Yeah, but you don't pay it all at once, do you? It goes over the contract of what he has. So I don't know. It's from what I know.
Yeah, I mean, on Ainsworth, he has. You're right. He's been dealt a real tough hand. As to be a QPR manager, you know, he's wanted to be that for a long time. I still think there are, you know, there are green shoots of positivity to, you know, try and remain hopeful. But if the results don't turn, you know, to match the performances, I don't think he's going to last, you know, a long time, is he? You know, if we're in the bottom three, bottom two, you know, 1-1 in our first 10 or whatever, you know, it's going to be a tough decision to make. But, you know, it's good that we've got a manager that cares about the club, but it's a good point you make. This was Critchley in this start. He didn't last, did he? He didn't last. He only got like 11, 12 games. So is that QPR attachment?
Well, the squad's not changed. Well, it has changed quite a bit from Critchley, but I mean, the depth of the squad, I'll say, is not changed by much because it's our whole season is almost going to be like balancing on a rope, isn't it? Let's be honest. We get two
absolutely,
injuries.
Absolutely, Brad. Yeah, that's completely what it is.
Our whole season is like balancing on a rope. We get two bad injuries. We're gone. We've got no depth. We've got no bench. We've got no players to fill in those players that get injuries. So surely we're all sat here now. Even Ainsworth, he says he's positive. He says that he sees positivity, the attitude's well. But he knows full well it could go this way or that way. And likelihood of QPR is going to go that way. We're going to get injuries. And let's be honest, he's going to go though. But then we're all going to say, yeah, he's gone. We're going to get a new manager. But a new manager is going to come in and he's going to get dealt a bad hand as well. And then it's just going to go like that for a while.
Cycle, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a cycle.
Cycle will continue. And I think you're right. It's a Steve Cook, you know, Lyndon Dykes long-term injury. And then, you know, chairs not firing. you know, we're a bit of a mess then, aren't we? Or Sandfield gets a knock and he's out for a while. Yeah, it just isn't the players behind the starting 11, which isn't too bad at this level. It's just, you know, we've got two or three subs that can maybe come on, but we've got a bench of nine. You know, is it? I think it's nine. At least not. It's enough. It's all youth team players, isn't it? And B team players. So it is. It is hanging on a knife edge. The results have got to turn. We'll feel a lot better if we can get a result at Borough. It will look, make the table look a lot healthier.
Yeah.
But you know.
They're on a shocking run.
It's so dicey, isn't it? It's very dicey. Yeah.
Problem is, football turns really quickly, doesn't it? You win at Borough, you win two of those games out of three. I think I'd have taken that at the start. You know, you lose it and you've lost. You've won one out of five. It really does. That's how fine margins we're talking.
You see, Sonny Dienger have the game of his life, and then he'll score in the 92nd minute.
He's currently got the worst save percentage in the league. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that in the week.
It won't happen Saturday, will it? We know. We know he's going to, like, Sinclair Armstrong's going to take on, like, five players and then he's going to come out of nowhere and do, like, a wonder save. Just quickly then, Ilias Chair, just before we talk about Borough and predictions and stuff, Chair, I know that we've touched on him, but he hasn't not down tools. He hasn't down tools. He's still working hard. He's still doing what... He just doesn't look like he's got that smile on his face, does he? Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't look body language-wise. I don't want to say engaged because that's quite harsh, but I don't know. I mean, him not finishing those chances, he's never been a great finisher, has he? I don't think, in his chair, when he gets in those positions. But if he stays, do we think we're going to get the same Ilias Chair that we've had, or do we think that we'll get a moody Ilias Chair more, or do we think that he'll? I don't know. Is he out of form?
This comment could probably come bite me on the arse, but I don't think we're going to get the same Ilias Chair as what Mick Beale got at all. I think Mick Beale got the best out of Chair. Let's be honest. But I just don't think Ainsworth. I don't know. By the looks of it, we're only looking from a, you know, the stands. It doesn't look like Ainsworth and Chair have the best. I don't know. From what I'm
Ainsworth
looking at.
Never talks about Chair, does he? Very, very, very rarely talks about Chair. When we went up to the training ground and we chatted with him, everything was about Chrissy Willock. Oh, he's the fittest he's been. I'm going to get the best out of Chrissy Willock. There was nothing about Ilias. Like, with Mick Beale was like, Ilias is my main man. And that showed for the first part of the season, last season.
Maybe that's it. I mean, Warburton put a lot of trust in him as well. You know, he's one
exactly
of the managers. And maybe Chair responds to having a lot of faith shown in from the manager. I mean, I think we'll tell after if he's still here after the transfer window. Maybe he will buck up. I mean, he looked brighter in the second half against Southampton. Yeah, you're right. The finishing has never been his strong suit. You know, he's got to tidy that up. But for us, we're talking about depreciating assets. He's got to have a good season. Because he's still under contract. If he's still here next summer, we'll be looking. You know, we'd want to get a fee from him. If he does stay, on the plus side, he'll surpass 200 appearances for QPR. And I mean, a little question for you guys? Can you remember the last QPR player in recent times to get to 200 plus appearances in the recent years?
Anua? Yeah, I was going to say Anua.
So not many players do it. You know, such a squad churn. You know, QPR than, you know, recent years. It doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, he's served QPR well, Chair, and I love him as a player. He has his flaws. He's 26 next month, so maybe if you're a club and you're looking at him, you think, what's his developmental, you know, ceiling? Can we get more out of him, or is this his level? Might be why he's still at QPR.
I still think he's going to be a very attractive player for teams who are in and around to buy in January. Obviously, January transfers aren't that common, but I mean, we'll judge what our own position is in January. That could be really bad news for us to sell, but it might be an offer we can't turn down because a club in seventh to fifth place is like, right, well, he's the one we need. We need that man to unlock. I think, when in an Ainsworth team, he's never going to play as well as he did under Mick Beale. It's just different football. He'd enjoy it a lot more, but. The how the manager talks about you, maybe behind closed doors, he's sort of best pals with Ilias Chair and like arm around him all the time. And in training, you're amazing. There was one point in the Ipswich game where the second half, Armstrong was like on the, we're defending a corner when Field was off the pitch. And like Armstrong was on the halfway line. He was kind of like, right, that's my job. Ilias absolutely screaming at him from the penalty spot. Like, get back here. Like, I mean, I can't tell what language they were using, but he was fuming with him. And like, they're screaming at each other. Someone had to come over and not quite separate them, but be like, look, shut the hell up. Like, let's actually try and defend this corner. And I don't know, you can take that in two ways, like both showing passion for the team and that's what we want. Or was Chair still fuming at the fact Sinclair didn't pass him the ball, so I'm now going to scream at you for doing your job and you need to sit in because we've only got 10 men. But I still feel he'll be a top performer for us under any manager. I think he's always got the right attitude, never a problem about that. So he's not going to shrink. He's not going to say he's got a knock when he doesn't. He's not one of those. He's always going to want to play and play well.
Thing is, I agree with you that I think he's got the right attitude and he won't like shrink away from it. But when he's smiling and happy, you get a lot more of a positive Ilias Chair. Yeah. He's much more influential in the game. Whereas at the minute, he's doing the job. He's doing what he's got to do. He's tracking everyone back and working hard. But it looks like he just has that little bit of a lack of belief in himself this season. Like, I know he was up against Kyle Walker-Peters, who's probably one of the better right-backs in the division this season. But he never really looked like he believed in himself he could get past him.
He's a better roamer, isn't he? You get a better Ilias Chair where he can roam and he can float. He's very restricted onto one wing at the moment under Ainsworth, which is what it is, but I just think, again, you want to get the best out of him and a Willock. They need to be in that position behind Armstrong, behind Dykes or whatever. So, that's what Gareth's got to sort out, hasn't he?
Not to get too tactical quickly, but we were talking earlier about the defenders that we're going to get back. And we're talking about right back. But do we think what we actually should line up with is like Jimmy Dunn at right back? Because right back's a massive issue for us. You have... let's imagine Clark Sawyer isn't fit. So you've got Cook and Fox.
You have to imagine that, mate.
Well, yeah, that's the reality. So then Fox and Cook centre-backs. So Dunn's just going to sit in. He's not going to go forward at all. He's got Smith in front of him who can do the attacking job. He still needs to defend, but it's not essential because you've got a proper defender at right back. Therefore, because we've got three who sit, Kenneth Powell can get forward more on the left and therefore Chair can roam around because he doesn't have to stay in that left spot because you've got three proper defenders. Powell will get back. I might send my suggestion into Ainsworth and Dobson if they fancy it. But to me, that feels like it can work.
Holback can play right back, but need him centre midfield.
Yeah. And then if he's in midfield, he can drop back into that hole. Like,
but why? If Holback goes right back, then Dazelle's definitely got to up his game. Let's be honest.
I feel like he's been better, but he's not good enough. But I feel like he's been better last couple of weeks.
Like I said, like I felt he was unlucky against Southampton because he was almost playing in a like, defensive shape as like a right winger. Once Smith went into like the right wing back, Dazelle was the furthest right of the midfielders. But he's left footed, and you could see he was uncomfortable trying to play a pass with his right foot. He kept just trying to hit it down into a channel rather than trying to like pick a pass.
That was a point in the Ipswich game. He's playing against his old team, the game he should have been massively up for. He's on the edge of the box. He had perfect opportunity to swing a leg at it with his right foot. 18 yards out, no, trying to get back on his left foot and blocked. Absolutely fuming with him. Like, footballers who can only kick with one foot, seriously do my head in. Like, you are so good to play Football League standard and you aren't prepared to swing your other foot at a ball. No. I just don't understand it.
Just quickly before I was looking at earlier about the saw something around the players that have played for both teams, QPR Middlesbrough. There's only five that I found. And we're talking, well, I went back all the way to like the 90s, early 90s.
This is where Jack comes up with like 20. Yeah.
I can't fit, right? I find that mad considering, you know, they've been here, we've played them a lot, right? I don't know. Anyway, I just want to see if any of you can get the five, right? I'll tell you the clubs and you've got to try and see if any of you can get them, right? So the first one, nice and easy. He went on loan to Accrington Stanley, then Morecambe, then Stevenage, then Bristol Rovers, then Blackpool. He went on loan to Gillingham. He went on loan to Doncaster. Then he played for QPR, 60-odd games. And then he left for Middlesbrough.
Joe Lumley? No.
Yes, Joe Lumley.
Oh, no, that's two of them.
Can't believe that took you so long.
Right, am I allowed to play this game?
Did you know that?
I've got it on his screen. I was distracted by other ones in my head, but I've got another one.
Here we go. This is a good one. Right, he started at United, went to West Ham, then went on loan at Birmingham, then he went on loan at QPR.
I know Ravel Morrison.
Yes, Ravel Morrison. All right. God, I thought that was a bit harder. All right, how about this one? Right, hold up. Here we go. Right, so he was at Portsmouth. Then he went on loan to Cardiff. Warsaw on loan. Then he went to Middlesbrough, where he played 109 games. He then went to West Ham. He then went to QPR. Norwich. He played 29 games for QPR, by the way. Norwich.
Hugo.
Nope.
No. He hasn't played for him.
Hugo's played for Borough.
Yeah, he's
the first one I had on my list.
Yeah, he's one of them, but he's not. It's not him. He went to Norwich, Bristol City, and ended his career at Bolton.
Mm.
I don't have a clue.
Started at
Portsmouth. He's a bit of a legend.
I wanted to say Grant Hall, but it's not him, is it?
He has played for both, though, so.
Yeah.
Who's that, Brad?
I said Grant Hall, but it's not him.
Yeah, I didn't put, yeah. So, no one's got it. He's currently a manager in the Premier League.
Gary O'Neill.
See? There you go. Fun little game for us.
A few random ones if you want.
Didn't think he played for him as well. Ledesma
play for him? I've got Ledesma, but I thought that'd be a bit easy because there's only a few clubs and one, it would just been a bit easy. Go on, Jack.
Well, you've got to say Hugo Ledesma, Grant Hall, Joe Lumley, Senny Dieng. I'm trying to think, they're quite recent though, aren't they? I'm sure there's some older ones.
I missed those two. I've got Marcus Bent here as well, was one.
God.
That was my hard one. I didn't do it. But
if you ran through Marcus Bent's clubs, we would have been recording a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah, he played like two games for us as well.
Oh.
Just quickly then, Middlesbrough brought a lot in, didn't they? Brought a lot of signings in. They've signed, Lewis O'Brien?
They haven't started well, though.
I know. I kind of think it's a really bad time to play them. Everyone's saying it's a good time to play them. I think it's the opposite. I think they've not had a good start. They're going to want to win at home, aren't they? Who else have they bought? They've bought someone else today, haven't they? Was it Lewis O'Brien and they bought that guy from Leeds? Greenwood. Sam Greenwood.
Oh, yeah. Brought him on loan. Well, hopefully Lewis O'Brien won't play Saturday, but because he's a very good player. I can't believe that he got so few chances last season or no championship. Well, Blackburn managed to get him and then couldn't register him or there was some issues there, wasn't it?
Do you reckon it's going to be the same team as Southampton, but Willock's going to come in?
No. He'll be on the bench.
I think it'll be the same team, mate. I think Dykes will be on the bench.
Dykes and Willock on the bench.
Yeah.
I feel it's way more likely Dykes starts, because whenever he seems to suddenly be coming back, then all of a sudden he starts the game and he seems to play 90 minutes. His recovery fitness must be incredible. We probably should touch very quickly on the fact that the QPR development team managed to do what the first team can't do and managed to win at Peterborough away.
Wasn't it 7-1 or something? 7-1, yeah.
You see the colleague or one of them, the one we picked.
Yeah, but that's the benefit, isn't it? That's the benefit of all these players getting first team football is their confidence is going to be like, Colley will be there going, what's this now? I've been away at Southampton. Do you know what I mean? Coming off 20 minutes, this development. This player here, do you know what I mean? It gives everyone that extra bit of confidence.
Let's see if Adoma developed playing against Peterborough.
Send him down there.
But yeah, man,
did Clark Salter play against Peterborough?
He was supposed to, wasn't he? Yeah.
Richards was the tea boy.
This is punishment for that tackle we didn't do at Oxford. We've not seen him since.
Yeah, but how quickly do we think everybody will be hyping up Colley? So within like two games, everybody on Twitter will be like, right, he needs to start every game now. And he's the key to us being amazing. And that's because that's what happened to Armstrong last season. Again, we just need to be very careful with him. He was impressive against Ipswich, like put himself about a huge amount, like one headers you would not expect a kind of youth team player to come on and challenge for the ball. And yeah, there was no element of, right, I'm a youngster and I like basically getting the ball to feet and just doing whatever I want. Like, so confident. Great to see.
He was unlucky against Southampton as well at the end.
Like, yeah, that was the moment everyone was like, this is it.
Yeah. And I think whether he sensed that from the crowd, because everyone was like, yeah, he just kind of hesitated.
But like people said in the crowd, if Chris Martin was there or Charlie Austin or someone at that point, that would have been 2-2. Right. You know? So anyway, just quickly then to end. Three questions, just a yes or no, and a score prediction. Do you think that Chair and Willock will be here come Saturday morning? Do you think we'll bring anyone in? And what do you think the score will be? Brad?
Yes, they'll both be here. I forgot what the second question was.
Will we bring anybody in?
Will we bring anyone in on the slide?
Yeah, I think we will, because you can't believe anything that Angel F says. I think someone's going to come in, 100%.
Jack?
Yeah, I think both Willock and Chair will be here through a lack of interest. I think, yes, some will come in. I think in the mould of Chris Martin. What was the last one?
Not hard. What was the score?
Oh, right.
I'll miss that one.
Yeah, no, go on, Brad. Do you want to go first?
I'm going to go 2-1 Borough, but we played well and the performance is looking solid.
I'm gonna just go really wild. I'm going to go 3-2 QPR. First time we scored in a game since last October against Cardiff, 37 games ago. So I'm going to go really optimistic like Ainsworth in his interviews.
He's got a $1 stat. Go on, Chris.
Yeah, they'll both be here. No, we won't bring anybody in because we'll wait to bring someone in on free.
Chris has written it down. He's written it down. Look.
Yeah. I've written YN and 1-1. That's my prediction for that.
Sorry, mate. I completely missed that. Did you say that? What did you say again?
Yes, they'll both be here. Yeah. No, we won't bring anybody in because we'll wait till people are available on a free. And 1-1 is my prediction for Borough away.
Doug?
Well, we don't want to go to Doug here.
Oh, God. Ilias will still be here. Chrissy Willock will go. No one's coming in. And we're going to lose 2-0. Oh.
That was going around a really depressing... I thought you were going to be like, we'll lose 5-0.
Yeah.
I think Willock
will go last minute. I could even see him go out on loan. As mad as that sounds, why would we do that? But I just think it will enable us to bring someone in. So I think we will bring someone in. And I think we'll lose 1-0. So, yeah. Not great.
There you go.
Anyway, all right, lads. Nice to have you all on. Nice to see you all. We'll catch up next week. And let's hope for a good result on Saturday. And we've got a bit of a break, haven't we? International break. We can enjoy our Saturday. Here's everyone.
Yours.
Sausage rolls.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.